No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
That's what I really pick up on, is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and Degree. All the best podcasts are free. Simon Ginger and Witty. Playing games and drinking tea. Call a pound stone, never lie. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend. With a friend for Hidden.
Hello, welcome to Grand Rapidians Play Video Games.
Where every week we review a beverage, we talk about a game we've played, we recommend something.
And some real life experience. I'm Ginger.
And with us today we have Chris Copeland from the Retro Hangover Podcast. So I'm going to put on my gloves, do a little shadow boxing, and let him take it from here.
All right, hello, classic and retro gamers, where we are guests on the podcast of worldwide winners whose wildlife whispering with wispy wieners, we are happy to be on the Grand Rapidians Play Video Games podcast with Willie the Wombat Warrior and Ginger the Piss Jug Yoga Chocobo! We are from the Retro Hangover Podcast, where I am your co-host, Chris Copeland, joined, as always, by our host, Shane Dick Dragon Koski!
I don't know what to do with this. I feel like we're on our own show now, and I feel woefully unprepared.
But I feel like I can never introduce myself anymore, and we're going to have to take from his to just use that as my introduction.
I keep telling him that he just needs to become a football announcer at some point. That's his next life.
Working on. I mean, dude, that's pretty dope.
I can make a standard opening for you, and just you can roll with that.
Yeah, just hire him on Fiverr.
So, I have a mead that I'm going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. It is from Confliction Meadery here in Michigan. It's Strange. Blueberries, apples, and honey.
Okay.
Strange is spelled weird. STRANJ.
Oh, I thought that was your assessment already. I was like, wow. Weird. Okay.
No, I've actually had it before. It's fairly delicious. That was a weak ass crack.
Not very carbonated.
No, well, it's mead.
I'm sure Willie can add it in post. Make a nice fake pop.
I don't know, that sounds like work.
Right. We don't need to do that. Nah. It's pretty dark because of the blueberry. Excellent. And that tastes like wine.
Oh, wow.
I like it. It really tastes like wine.
I like wine.
I think I'm going to keep it at 4.25.
Oh, that does taste very much like honey wine. I can see why I gave that. It is a honey wine. That's why I gave it a 3.5. It's a little bit too much honey to me. The blueberry doesn't stand out as much as I would like.
Right.
I'll have to give that a shot. Sounds delicious.
Yeah. If you can find it, pick it up. It is pretty good if you like mead. I like mead a little more than Willie does. That's why I gave it a higher rating.
And it wasn't super pricey for a mead. It was only like $6.50 for this bottle.
Oh, wow.
It's sitting on the shelf right next to like a $30 bottle. So
it is 10%. From Kalamazoo. I like it. And Will has this fucking cork.
I'm going to open up an Absolution.
Don't hit the arcade machine.
Dark Belgian Ale. Actually, from Belgium. Let's see. It's not a real cork. It's a plastic cork.
Mm.
Let's see if I can get this out here.
Right.
I'm wrestling with a plastic cork.
You guys brought out the big guns today. I'm so happy I didn't bring a Natty Light.
There's a store near here called Beer City in Beer City, USA. And they always get too much of certain kinds of beer, and they put it out on clearance. And so this 750-milliliter bottle of beer from Belgium was only $3.
Nice. That's a steal.
Hell yeah.
They'll do like 6-packs for $5 and 4-packs of 16-ouncers for $4. They got lots of good deals. I try to check in there every week to see what they have on sale. All right, I
It's about it looks like it's about to pop.
Almost got it out.
That's what he said.
Hey.
That was a weak ass pop.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear it.
Came out.
No, it hardly went anywhere. Mm. But it looks like a pretty delicious beer.
It's dark, kind of reddish. Hmm. It's pretty good. Kind of roasty. It's bottle aged. It's dark and sweet. Almost a little bit sour. Not sour, like Sour Patch Kid sour, but like a funky sour beer flavor.
Mm.
Like it was fermented with wild Belgian yeast.
Well, it's from New Glarus as well.
Oh, it's from Monroe, it's Wisconsin?
It's from Belgium, but the brewery, Die Proof Brewery, partnered with New Glarus to make the recipe.
Yes. Oh, okay.
But New Glarus was what I was thinking of when we had Christy Yamaguchi made on, and I couldn't think of it. So yeah. If he's listening, it was New Glarus that has the strawberry fucking beer that is just so fucking good. And I spent like over $100 at a 7-Eleven at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Were roller hot dogs involved at any point?
No, okay. I was pissed that I couldn't buy fucking beer after 9 in Milwaukee. Fuck you, Milwaukee.
There's kind of fig flavors in this Absolution and oak. It says they age it in American oak barrels, and I can kind of taste the woodiness in it.
Tastes like freedom.
Yeah, it's good. I think I'm giving this one 3.75 out of 5.
Not bad. I don't think I can have it, so I'm going to pass. I didn't look it up. I don't feel like emailing a fucking brewery. So, you guys have a beer you want to talk about?
I do.
Sure, yeah. Chris, you want to go first?
Yeah, let's go second. And you can close out the drinking reviews.
Fantastic. And,
nice. I got a local beer. I went to the store. I got a beer called Diver Down. It's an Imperial Red Ale, 8%. And it was made by a Brew Hub Brewery out of Lakeland, Florida. So it's not too far from us. So I'll go ahead and open this up. I'll get it nice and close to the microphone so we can have a nice strong-ass pop. There it is.
Oh.
That was a nice crack.
All right, I'm gonna, I don't have my snifter. I should have gotten my snifter. But I'm just going to put it in this mug that I have.
God. Whatever, Natty Light guy, just pour the damn thing.
Nice, and it's a nice dark. Mama, it's a nice dark color. Nice head. Everyone likes nice head.
That's what he said.
The foam tastes pretty good.
You poured it too fast.
I did. I don't want it to fall over the table. So I'm waiting for it to go down a little bit. Foam is nice and dark. There's a brown foam to it. Smells fruity. Smells floral.
I like a lot of red ales. That's one of my favorite styles for sure.
Usually anything with Imperial in front of it, I generally like. I don't know why.
Great Britain has entered the chat.
Or just something strong, because usually Imperialism, it's pretty strong.
Not Imperialism, that's bad, but Imperial in front of a beer name is just fine. All right, so
I was going to make a Star Wars reference, but I think I'm too late.
No, you should go for it. Shane will dig it. All right, let me see. The head's going down a little bit, which, again, is what she said. And
they said.
That's the definition, going down a little bit.
Very, very floral. I'll say this, very floral, a lot of very floral flavor. It's smooth. It's very smooth. Lots of flavor. Nice. Like, you can tell it's strong, but it's not like the overbearing strongness you typically get from a more alcoholic beer with a higher ABV.
Hadouken!
Absolutely. Right. I think I'm going to give this one a 4.5.
All
right. Nice. Sounds yummy.
Cool. All right. So I guess that's me. So unfortunately, I don't have a sweet crack noise because I had already opened mine. I was not aware that's what I had to do.
But, you could go.
Yeah. There you go. So mine's a little bit different. I am going with an elderberry agrarian cider. That's kind of the the brand Ooh. Line that they're calling it anyway. And it is semi-local. It's it's out of Plant City, Florida, actually. It's from a place called Keel Farms. They're better known for their wine, but they also do hard ciders. This particular one, as I said, is an elderberry one. So I've had it before, and it's pretty good. It's got a nice sort of purplish hue to it, and of course that comes from the elderberry itself. And it tends to have, of course it's a cider, so it's going to be a little bit more on the sweet side, which it is, but it's got some real nice like subtle floral like tones to it too. So that's sort of mixed with, of course, the apple. Turns out to be a really, really decent cider. So if you're into those sorts of things, and I know that's not for everybody.
But I actually found it on Untappd, and I want to try it.
Oh, well, Click they
find.
Are good.
Can we find it within 75 miles of here?
That might be a little bit of a struggle. I've talked to them directly, actually, about their distribution. And as far as I'm aware right now, they're not too much further outside of like northern and central Florida.
Yeah, I can work something out.
There we get some shipping going. But I think, and unfortunately, this is actually kind of a secondary for me because the cider that they make that I actually like the most is a seasonal one, and that's their Dutch apple pie cider.
Ooh,
that one is amazing. So that one.
I love ciders.
Yeah, so I think that one on your scale from 1 to 5, that Dutch apple one is, for me at least, it's probably a good solid like 4.7. I just love that
what
thing.
What about the one you're drinking now?
Yeah, so the elderberry, not quite as high, but that's just, you know, personal bias. But it's still really good for a cider. So I think this one, I'd probably place it somewhere around like I give it like a 4.25.
That's still pretty high.
Yeah, that's good.
I will say,
sweet.
Prior to drinking this, and I'll say this is the advantage of having a garden. I was drinking my general gin and club, and my wife has a ginger root that she grows. And
nice.
One of the great things that you can do is you can take the ginger root, you can of course strip it, get it down to like where it's orange, and then put it in your gin or your vodka and just let it sit for 24 to 48 hours. And it gives a nice ginger flavor on top of what you already have naturally with the gin. So it really enhances your lower shelf gins and gives it the same kind of quality and flavor that you'll get on maybe some of your higher ends.
There's a gin hack. Heyo.
I don't think I've ever had ginger gin before. I've done pineapple vodka, mm-hmm. but that's not the same thing.
And I make my own kombucha, so.
And you use ginger in a lot of those.
Yeah, because it's a nice balance to the sweetness.
The ginger is nice.
And we'll. Oh. Yay.
I see what I did there.
Say, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dietrich.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ben.
We're from the podcast That Song From That Movie, the journey through the very best and worst of movie songs.
We want you to join us on our voyage across the cinematic sound waves as we take a deep dive on a new song and movie each week to figure out just what makes them tick.
Already we've set sail with Celine Dion on the Titanic, found a friend in Toy Story, and gotten drenched out in the rain with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Hopefully each breakdown allows us to answer the ultimate question of what's better, the movie or the song. Or at least learn something new along the way.
Just like learning that Toy Story 4 is a meaningless cash grab without a soul.
You can subscribe right now on all good podcast platforms. If you use one of the bad ones, then that's on you, and we can't be held responsible.
Subscribe to That Song From That Movie.
So now it's time for Real Life XP.
TMCRLLC.
RHP.
Yes.
GRPVG.
TG.
Twin Galaxies?
I was going to say together, because we're all doing, but that works. As long as we're not like these rotating news feeds right now, where they have like the Andromeda and the Milky Way clashing, like that's not frightening. And I mean, it can't get much worse. It is 2020, and maybe it's just happening right now, and that's.
It can get much worse.
Can we? Can we just pretend it can't? Can we just pretend it can't?
Sure.
I mean, I know it can get worse.
Yeah, so can we just have one moment where existential dread doesn't, like, seep into everything?
Well, that's what we're here for, usually.
Right.
All right, I'll go first with my real life XP.
Yeah.
I bought a Honda Fit brand new. It's almost 5 years ago now. It's a 2016. I bought it brand new in late 2015 with only 7 miles on it. And right now I'm about 10 miles away from hitting 60,000 miles on it. Haven't had any problems except for...
Better knock on wood.
The only thing that I've had was a 5-gallon bucket fell out of a truck on the highway in Florida.
We're good for that.
Broke one of my fog lights.
That sounds about right.
Oh, that shit was scary as fuck.
It's Florida man's fault.
But other than that, yep, it was a Florida man. Didn't tie down their 5-gallon buckets in their work truck.
Listen, just be lucky they weren't tossing meth gators out the back of the truck.
Right.
I didn't think meth that one was going to be a conversation killer, but I like it.
Sounds kind of tasty. I could make a pretty good po' boy out of a meth gator, I bet.
I'm sure the flavor will have you rolling.
Literally. Go ahead, Will. All
right. Yeah, so 60,000 miles on my car with no problems other than people losing shit off the back of their trucks.
Yep.
I got to go get my brake pads changed next week. And, yeah, that's it. Car runs like a dream.
Nice.
So I think for 5 years worth of...
You better fucking knock on wood, you idiot, right now before we have some fucking car fly into your car on our busy fucking street. Because you know that shit can happen.
With flying meth
gators.
Knock
on fucking wood. Yes.
Yeah.
In
a
Michigan.
Truck full of alligators is going to crash into my car now, but...
They're going to be delivered by snipes.
Well, I'm gonna try and go for a point per mile and go for 59,995 miles. Or, I mean, points.
You can just round up and go 60K. Yeah.
Don't encourage him. 60,000.
Yep, I'm going for a new record on our show.
That's awesome.
Are you gonna...
I think it should be knocked down 1,000 for the bucket.
But that's not his fault. He should get an additional 1,000 for the bucket.
Blame it on the Florida meth gators.
He survived. Hey, look, he survived
that's a random
Florida
encounter.
Man. Yeah.
He survived a train crash as well. But that's a whole nother story. You really didn't know that his nickname was Train
Boxcar Willie.
Boxcar Willie. Yeah. Okay, I don't give a shit, honestly. I wanted to give you a little bit of shit.
Cool, I thought you were going to try and cut that shit in half. So I went full bore, but I'll take 60,000. Hell yeah.
All right, so I'll go next. So Willie has gotten a one wheel a few months ago and has been literally bugging me almost every day to ride it. And
I have not. Once a week.
Once every, like, 12 hours, I swear.
Once every 6 hours, come on.
So, I've just been, like, it's been one thing or other. Like, I've had too much to drink, I don't want to fucking hurt myself too much. Or, like, I just haven't felt good. And I'm like, timing's been off. So, finally yesterday, the stars aligned so I could ride the fucking one wheel. Or just finally get enough courage to ride it, honestly, because I was nervous.
I caught her before she had any whiskey sours.
That was a good thing, because I had too many whiskey sours yesterday. But it was really fun to learn how to ride the one wheel, but it's still kind of a mind fuck, because it, like, corrects, like, in... make sure you don't fall forward, so you have to learn an automatic skateboard that automatically balances for you. You don't have to do anything but lean. It's just really fucking weird, but super fucking cool. It's like an off-road skateboard that is electric. And it's really neat, and I really had a lot of fun learning how to ride it, and I had a great teacher.
It sounds like a segue.
It's kind of a segue without the stick
just
thing.
Just don't call it a hoverboard, because that's heresy. Segues. I don't want to hear that.
It's not.
It self-balances the same way a Segway does, but it's a skateboard with one giant go-kart wheel in the center rather than four small wheels.
And you can go, like, through grass, through gravel, over small bumps.
Sand and wood chips and everything.
It's fucking cool.
That sounds awesome.
And if you have never seen one, look up one wheel. There's a small one, and then there's a larger one. It's really neat. I was really nervous at first, Will, getting this. I was like, please get safety equipment. I can just see something bad happening. So, yeah, now I totally want a one wheel. Thanks, Will.
I'll buy the big one, and you can have this pint.
That's fine. So, for finally gaining enough courage to get onto that one wheel and wanting to go again when I don't have any alcohol, because I don't want to fuck myself up, honestly.
We could always go during the next commercial break.
No. I am going, since you went so big and I've gained courage to drive something that was kind of making me a little nervous, I'm going to say 60,000 points, too.
Hmm. 60,000, huh?
Oh, you're going to give me shit, too?
I mean, it is a vehicle-related accomplishment. I'm trying to look for an argument.
Yeah, I agree.
You only went about 1 mile on the one wheel.
So? I was scared.
So if you're going by the vehicle mile rules, that would only be one XP.
If you go over courage and gaining courage to do something you're nervous about.
True, you didn't have any airbags.
Yeah. Go ahead. Good thing I practiced enough yoga, because the amount of times I tried to stop and almost did the splits, I think whatever fucking entity you believe in, that I practiced fucking yoga and I was flexible enough not to fuck myself up.
Thank Bender from Futurama.
Now to be
my shiny metal ass.
Now to be fair, Willie, she had one wheel and went 1 mile, and you had four wheels. So I mean, that one wheel is harder. So I mean, even if you wanted to give her one XP, at least have to go to four because she had 1/4 of the amount of wheels that you did.
Best I can do is tree fitty.
Yeah, what he said.
How about 50,004?
50,004.
Yep.
No. You just don't want me to match your points. Just like how I don't have fucking matching pay in real fucking life. This is some bullshit.
Yep. How about...
You're being sexist with these
so
points.
So you get 73% of the same points he gets.
Yeah.
No!
Alright, 59,993.
Sure. I'll take that.
I subtracted the wrong number, but I came up with a total somehow.
I'll take it.
Alright, who wants to go next?
I'll let Shane go first this time.
Oh, okay. I'm going now. Okay, well.
I can never make you happy, can I?
I gotta keep you on your toes, man. Alright, so for my real-life XP lately, actually it's been quite a lot. We are in the process of prepping part of our property that we own for becoming a rental unit, and there's been a lot that's been going into that over the last, well, technically several years, but I think more recently in the last couple of months, things have started to ramp up quite a bit. And without going into a ton of details, my parents are also involved in this, because they are moving out of the building that we are going to be renting, and that's been interesting, and it's been a long time coming, but it's good, and it's just been super hectic. So that, in addition to, you know, just everything else, like just gesturing vaguely at the rest of the world.
Moving is already
Oh yeah, yeah, for and sure.
Adding on top of everything else that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Help. And so that's like kind of phase one of the whole plan. And then I've got, you know, we've got some things that we need to do to finish up sprucing the place up before we start showing it. I've got a really good friend of mine that's a property manager, so I've got him on board to help out with that stuff. And then eventually our plan is to move out of the house that we're in and hopefully at least temporarily move closer into town. And then we'll be renting out both of the houses out here. So hopefully we can start generating some decent income from that. So yeah, that's kind of been my life for for the last several months.
You want to rent to Florida men?
I mean, I don't really have another option unless people want to. I mean, listen, like,
honestly,
I'm...
bless your soul.
Well, I'm a northerner at heart, and I moved down here. So maybe, you know, maybe like I can just find one of those people.
To be honest, he probably, looking at where he lives, he'd probably end up renting to preppers.
That is actually true. I'm at the end of a private dirt road in like an unincorporated town, so yeah. But hey, look at it this way. Like, you know, those kind of people, once they find a place, they're going to hunker down forever. So that's like,
hell yeah.
That's security for me, right?
Right.
Yeah, will you let your renters dig a big hole to build a fallout shelter in?
Well, you know, it's not part of the initial lease, but, you know, we could talk. We could talk.
It's negotiable.
Yeah. I mean, also, to be fair, I might question it if they want to try to dig a bunker in Florida, since we're basically a sandbar on top of a swamp. So I'm not sure that's a great idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You just have to waterproof the storage container you build it out of.
Exactly. Exactly. You won't have to dig down very far anyway. So let's see. I don't even know what to give myself for points for that. I feel like it's a lot. I've been here for like 8 years. That's when I moved down here originally. So I'm going to use that as a multiplier.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's say, you know what? I'm going balls to the wall. I don't give a shit. I'm saying 80,000.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That's it. 10K per year. That's where I'm sticking.
Let's do it. Let's keep pushing this shit higher.
Let's do it.
80,000.
80K.
I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be taking on renting to Florida man.
Florida men, plural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they bring in your dog
and women.
They rip up your carpet and.
And they're.
It's awful.
Neither both.
Terrorists win.
Oh, God. That gives me flashbacks to the last time I tried to play Counter-Strike and almost threw a laptop out of a six-story window.
Good job, Will. Fucking triggering people. Mm-hmm.
Like that cupcake dog with, like, the helicopters. Anyway, so, Chris, what about you?
I think this has been a really good week for me, actually. This is a good time to get some RLXP. Because today I officially got my college degree. I got my bachelor's in science and political science and minor in criminal justice with cum laude. So I got the official degree. It was official today as of the time of the recording. So I'm officially a college graduate. Thank you. I feel like twirling a giant sword around my head and dancing.
Right? You should.
And on top of that, I was able to, for the most part, pretty much secure the, until I retire from the military, the remainder of my time here in Jacksonville. So I was up for
it. Oh, shit. Well, that's news to me. I'm just hearing about this, too. All right.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
After I leave the command I'm currently at, I'm just going to pretty much walk across the street to another command in here in Jacksonville, and it'll take me up to my 21-year mark, and if they don't put me in Jacksonville again, I'm just gonna be like, hey, thanks for all the memories, and put myself out to pasture and hopefully get a job at the post office if I hope it's still around. And
if it still exists.
If it still exists.
Right.
Vote November.
Somebody's gonna have to sort that mail by hand.
That's true.
Someone will.
That's your calling.
We're going to have to roll the mail in rocks to flatten it out and make sure it can fit in mailboxes. But yeah, it's been a really eventful week for me, having those two things go on in my life. I'm really happy I get to stay with my family.
Fuck yeah, man.
And not have to go overseas by myself again, because that was, you know, that's always a struggle. And a college degree, prosperous in the future, hopefully, and I can give my GI Bill to my kids, which I've already set up, so I don't have to worry about any of that. So I'll give myself, I'll stay with you guys and go, it's not as impressive as the multiplier, 8x multiplier, and having to worry about renting out to Florida man, because if I left, I'd have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. And I did kind of
It is, I say we break the next digit barrier.
100K?
Oh,
yeah. Fuck yeah,
go fucking 100K for a college degree. Hell yeah.
I'll give myself 100K in RLXP.
I like it.
Hell yeah, dude.
And it's Sonic, too. Everyone loves Sonic, don't you, Shane?
God damn it.
not the first Sonic. The real first Sonic, which is Sonic 2.
I love the first Sonic.
The real first Sonic is Sonic Adventure. Changed my mind.
You leave now.
I was going to say Sonic Spinball.
It's not bad.
Nice. Solid choice.
Not bad. I mean, it's terrible, but that's not
okay.
Bad.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Willie.
Huh?
What game you play?
I play the TurboGrafx-16 game called Blazing Lasers.
Yes. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck that
this
game.
This is one of my all-time favorite shoot-em-up games. It's a vertical scrolling shooter where you play as a little tiny spaceship who has to destroy, like, I don't know, an alien civilization or something. There's not really a story. No,
there really isn't.
Doesn't matter. It's all about the pew-pew.
Yeah.
If anyone cares about the plot of the shooter that's not called Radiant Silver Gun, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So you're flying and you shoot millions and billions of alien creature spaceships.
Holy shit.
And it plays kind of, I wouldn't say kind of like Gradius. That's a horizontal scroller. Right. And it's got a different system. Forget I said that.
Never. It's imprinted in my mind.
Yeah. Let's talk about Salamander.
There's four main weapons you can get in Blazing Lasers. And the first one is like bullets. The second one is like a wave gun. The third one is like a big, powerful laser. And the fourth one has like a shield / option ball orbiting you that shoots.
Yeah.
And if you keep collecting the same one, you can power it up by collecting these purple balls.
Come get some.
And if you switch to a different one, they're Roman numerals 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Purple balls.
If you're using 2, and you pick up another 2, it powers up your level 2 wave weapon. But if you pick up a 4 when you're using 2, then it just switches and it doesn't power up.
And that can really fuck you up if you have a weapon that you're like, hell yeah, I'm just blazing through this game.
Ah. Yeah.
And then you pick one up, and it's like such bullshit.
Dude, that's the same thing I complained to Chris about too. When we talked about this game, it was the same thing. I was like, man, I got like weapon number 4, and it's all upgraded, and it covers like the whole screen. Mm-hmm. And then it threw this other shit at me, and now I'm using this pea shooter. It was the worst.
Fatality.
Get good scrub.
I like 2 and 3 the most.
Get good scrub.
I don't know. Yeah, Chris says some shit about like strategy or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, there is. So you gotta learn, like, how to fight the boss. And then there's a secondary weapon. There's M, that gives you, like, 2 mini ships that follow you around.
Multi-body.
F, is that, you actually know what they're called?
Yeah.
What is... So F is, like, heat-seeking with a laser.
Full fire.
Okay.
Well, he's like, I don't give a fuck, but fine. You're gonna...
Is it H with the heat-seeking missiles?
Yeah, yes. What is it, Chris?
Homing missiles.
Great.
Homing missiles.
They say it when you pick up it up.
Shit. I usually play on mute while I'm listening to a podcast.
Oh, I got you.
There we go. That's exactly why we don't know it.
That's what everybody should do, am I right?
Exactly.
Yes. And there's another one or two that I forgot about.
Shield.
Shield, yep. The shield is awesome.
Shield's great.
That came in handy. I finally made it up to level 9 today for the first time ever.
That's awesome. That's a hard... It gets tough.
It does. I use the cheat code for 30 continues to get up there.
Hell yeah. I would too.
But it still takes skill to get there, because if you die, you start over at the last checkpoint. And most of the stages have 2 checkpoints.
Fucked.
And you lose all your weapons, and you start over from the checkpoint, and you have to build back up. So, even if you use a shitload of continues, it helps you memorize the patterns more on the later levels, but it still takes skill to get through it.
Right.
It's a really good game.
It is. I love how you get fucking overpowered. If you have a weak weapon, and there's a lot of enemies shooting at you, it can be an impossible bullet hell. But if you have your weapon powered up, you can just blow through this shit, and it feels like there's nobody coming at you.
Do you know it's a licensed game?
Until you get to the big Moa heads, right?
I hate the fucking Easter Island
heads. Easter Island heads.
I saw your post on Twitter. You're like, why does every single shooter have Moabs?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know,
too. I think
too.
That's in Area 4.
And, like, pyramids and Easter heads and their Easter Island heads, and they're firing, like, crescent moons at you. I'm like, what?
That's fucking aliens, man.
I was just going to say, every shooter from, like, the mid-90s or whatever had Easter Island heads and, like, Xenomorph ripoffs. Guaranteed.
Blame X-Files.
The bosses are cool in this game. They're not, like, super hard. They have specific patterns, and I like the bosses. There's no bathrooms. There's no piss jugs.
I was just about to ask, really. The boss, you saw it.
Yep, I saw it. The boss from level zero, I accidentally used a cheat code and played level zero. I was trying to get one for 30 continues, but I accidentally used one instead for start on level zero with 30 continues. And level zero is just a boss level, who's the same boss from, I think, Area 3.
Okay.
And it's like a humanoid-shaped robot, and he splits in half and spreads his legs, and he shoots a giant dick laser at you.
Oh, nice.
Out of his crotch.
Nice.
So he's technically pissing on you.
He's pissing lasers on you from a giant mech robot spacesuit.
I think that counts.
I figure we need a new bit. No piss jugs, no bathrooms, but there's a dick laser that casts shadow.
Dick lasers that cast shadows. I think we can roll with this one.
I need to play Cho Aniki then, because I hear there's a lot of dick lasers in that game.
Ooh. Yeah, totally, like, put that in our chat so I can remember that, because dick lasers.
I will put that in the chat.
The world needs more dick lasers.
Holy shit.
There, I put it in the chat. I was going to say, this is actually Blazing Lasers is actually a licensed game, believe it or not. It's based off the manga Gunhead. So that's why you have dick lasers, is because it's a head.
Because it's a manga.
It's or it's called Gunhead.
Also that. Just in general.
That too. Yeah in general.
I mean, that's okay, though.
Because those twisted Japanese and all their awesome perversions.
What are you talking about?
They have some not-so-awesome perversions, I'm sure, as well.
When I
must speak for yourself.
When I think of hentai, I never think of Japan.
Just think of giant, fluffy anime titties.
Hell yes.
All right, so yeah, that's most of the game.
I'm gonna be honest. All There's I got out cool of that boss. Was fluffy anime titties. Now that's all I'm taking away from this.
There was
that's
one cool
the name
boss
of this episode.
That was like a skull, and then you blow up the skull, and it's like an alien brain floating around in space, and that was kind of creepy and cool.
Nice.
Most of them were just giant mech tanks or spaceships, and yeah, the cheat codes are hard to input too. Like, first you have to get to the sound select screen, so you have to hold minus and then press left and right quick, like 22 times, but it cancels it out if you press up or down, so you have to alternate left right on the control pad without pressing up down. And then when you get there, you have to activate the debug code. You have to press AB, and then you press minus, like, 22 times.
22 times? That's insane.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
That's so dumb.
What'd you play this on?
I played it on the Wii Virtual Console.
Okay.
And so I actually had to, I went into the menu, and I was like, all right, so run is plus, select is minus, and 1 and 2 is A and B. Respectively, but the cheat still worked on the Wii Virtual Console version.
Oh yeah, that was a really good emulation service while it lasted.
Yeah.
You know what else is a really good emulation service? An emulator on your computer.
Yeah.
You just ruined it for us, Shane.
Listen, all I'm hearing is like, I gotta put this in 22 times, and in my head I'm just like, but those save states though. Like,
quiet, Shane.
That's cheating.
Right, of course. How silly of me.
If you work hard for this cheat code, then that ain't cheating.
Balances out. I got you. Okay.
But yeah, for
I'm with Shane though. Like, fuck that 22 fucking button press shit. I would lose count. I would.
Well, like, you don't have to count. You just have to wait till the screen pops up.
So you just mash keep, the you button just keep and doing the screen it. Pops up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I guess that's not as bad. So you could just mash a button and not have to count.
Right. For a while, when they started releasing classic console games on the Wii, I was buying every vertical and horizontal shooter that yes. they released.
Yes.
So I've got a shitload of games on my Wii U that I transferred from the Wii.
Man, I'm jealous.
But Blazing Lasers. Yeah, Blazing Lasers is my favorite.
Nice.
Very nice. So, Shane.
Hey, Chris.
Fuck it.
Oh, is it Shane? Shane. Because you guys do sound the
son of a bitch.
Go ahead, Ginger. I'll let you ask.
I don't know. Who do you want to ask now?
You're the same person, goddammit. I'm just kidding.
I'm leaving that in.
Hey, Shane.
Hey.
What game you play?
So my fiance and I actually just finished up playing a co-op run of Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, and it took us like, I think, 2 years to actually get through it, because holy shit, this game is janky as fuck. All right, so so for the record, it was actually enjoyable. If you're not familiar with Epic Mickey and Epic Mickey 2, they were 3D sort of like pseudo platformer slash puzzle games that were released for multi-platform, but we happened to play it on the Wii, you know, virtual console or whatever that's built into the Wii U, because we still have our Wii U hooked up. And
wise decision.
Same.
Yeah, well, that's Chris's favorite of all time, so yes. But but yeah, so we finally got back to kind of finishing that up, and it's interesting because you could sort of tell as you're playing through it that the development team was quickly running out of time and resources, and they rushed it towards the end. There's a lot of really great ideas in this game. The co-op is actually pretty good. If you're playing as Mickey, you have his paintbrush. That's sort of the main conceit of both of the games, is that you are in Disney World and there's paint and then there's thinner, and Mickey has access to oh, both. Man. And
so you get to paint stuff and then you get to huff the paint thinner and then you get to freak out in frickin' Fantasia, huh?
Exactly. Yes. And so there's sort of this like pseudo morality system where if you decide to solve the problems that are presented to you in the game through like your quests and things like that by painting in things, typically that's the harder way to go, but it's the quote unquote better solution. And so the resolution of the game is you're going to have a better ending than if you just thin everything out and break shit. So that's kind of that general conceit. And then the other half, because it's called The Power of Two, if you're playing with another person, then you also get Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. So anybody who's familiar with old Disney shit, like, he was sort of the predecessor, right? And and he has his own abilities where he gets this cool little like remote control that can interact with like keypads and stuff to reprogram them to do things. And so if you're playing co-op, then you each take one. If you're playing by yourself, then basically Oswald is just sort of like an AI sidekick. But the actual gameplay is not bad. Like, it was a lot of fun. But man, there were some really frustrating points in there. There's some questionable design decisions for sure.
So what are there any kind of like vases in the background? Speaking of like designing.
Well, actually,
bathrooms.
There are
bathrooms, piss jugs, or dick lasers.
Well, there are quite a few, you know, different styles of containers strewn about the different worlds that could.
So these containers that could be holding hot piss.
Could possibly, yes. Yeah.
All right, cool, cool.
And actually, continue. there's some fountains in the game that are so supposed to be, like, gold, like molten gold.
Oh, but piss fountains.
Fucking
but
piss.
let's be real. We all know what
piss fountains.
So there's piss fountains in this fucking game. Yes.
Confirmed.
Hello, imbecile.
Fuck yes. This game already I want to play. I don't think I've played this game, but I want to play.
Yeah,
it
well,
now.
Here's the fun fact. Not a lot of people have. So we had to rely on some, like, you know, IGN walkthroughs and shit to figure out how to do some of the stuff in this game because it's just so obtuse. And even the walkthroughs that we found there were actually incomplete, which kind of tells you that, like, not a lot of people bothered with this game.
I would just get to the piss fountain and quit.
Yeah, just take a screenshot.
That would be the end of the game for me.
Just go splash around in it and say, ah.
Yeah.
Well, see, you say that, but actually the function of the fountains is for you to literally jump in it and get covered in that substance because it does something in the game. So that's perfect for you.
Yes, please take a screenshot. We can share once.
What kind of controller does this use, like, the Wii Remote and Nunchuck controller scheme?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
So you can pretend you're pissing with the Wii Remote into the golden fountain, getting a golden shower.
Mm-hmm. You can. Nice. And then Oswald will just stand there and watch. So at any rate...
Awesome.
at the beginning of the game, right, like, you can see that there was a whole bunch... of, like, detail that was put into the levels. Like, they're actually really, really well done. And then the further you get, especially towards, like, the back, I'm going to say about quarter of the game or so.
You're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, basically, yes. It was very obvious that they ran out of time to finish this game because at the beginning, you see, like, there's a whole bunch of really awesome, like, interactable shit in the levels. And, like, there's all this great detail. And then the last few levels are just like, hey, y'all want some fucking platforms? And, like, that's it. And
I wonder if they were rushed, though, honestly, because a lot of games get rushed.
Oh, they 100%
were. And shit gets looked over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah, no.
Just
they
like
were.
Bart Simpson versus the Space Mutants.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of a bummer, too, because actually.
Oh,
like,
that was a really sad, yeah.
Holy
like,
shit.
Virtual hug for you.
But yeah, it's kind of a huge bummer, actually, because I think if this game was given the proper development time that it deserved, I think it could have been way, way better overall. I mean, there's some real major performance issues with the game, too. And part of that is just because it's on a Wii, right? Like, let's be real. The hardware is not the greatest. But at the same time, there's some massive slowdown in parts of the game. And if you're playing co-op, it's actually even worse because then it's vertical split screen. And, like, you can see as soon as the second player jumps in, suddenly the frame rate just tanks. Not super great. I kind of wish that they had been able to give it more time because there are a lot of really awesome ideas in here, but I just think the execution, unfortunately, was a little bit lacking. But overall, we had a good time with it. We finished it up last night, actually. So we're feeling pretty good about it.
You should have played on the Wii U.
It was on the Wii U.
So you did play it on the Wii U?
Yeah, we played it. Nice. It's the Wii version of the game because it was only it's technically released for Wii U, I guess, but we had the Wii copy, and so we were playing it on the virtualized Wii on our Wii U.
Yep, that's what we do.
It doesn't
use
make
as
that
well.
Much of a difference.
Nah.
No.
I don't know if it makes any difference if you play on the original Wii versus the Wii U with the Wii game.
Look, Oswald, I'm getting a golden shower on the Wii.
This podcast is brought to you by Julie Andrews' support of the establishment.
To help support this cause, just text Grand Rapidians Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Anti-Disestablishmentarianism to 555-5555.
Just make sure you spell it right.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
What game you play?
So I'm going to talk about Romancing Saga, which I finished. Has anyone played Romancing Saga before? It's a Square RPG. It's more obscure. That's the only reason I ask.
I heard there's a new version about, or a new compilation version about to come out.
That's the Final Fantasy Legend compilation, which is the original three Saga games. And those were all for the, they're all for the Game Boy. But Romancing Saga was the Super Nintendo series that never came out in North America. Mostly because they were so much different than what you would get from your typical JRPG. So it was more of a... there's no chocobos in them, unfortunately.
0 out of 10.
I don't want to play it. No, just kidding.
But, if you played the original Final Fantasy II and how they leveled up and the conventions that they have there, where, mm-hmm. like, you use your weapons and you level up your strength and your intellect depending on the actions that you perform in battle, that's what Romancing Saga is all about. And same with Saga Frontier and the other Saga games. So, but they remade Romancing Saga, which was an SNES game from, like, 91 or 92 in Japan, and they remade it for the PlayStation 2 in, like, 2005, 2006. And that's the one I played and I beat. It's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it's just... you pick a character, there's 8 characters, and essentially what you do is you have this beginning plot thread with the character, and you make it through the end of their initial plot thread, and then it's, okay, here's the world. And you're like, well, what do I do? And it's,
whatever you want.
Whatever the fuck you want to do. Just go fucking... This person has a problem. Go fucking fix it. And you're like...
I need eggs for my pancakes.
But the thing is...
I need a jug for my piss.
I mean... Looks like you're... I'm playing Nier right now.
Well, listen, I've got this fountain. Let's talk about it.
Collect the piss from the fountain and I'll give you 2,000 gold. Get it in my mouth.
That's an extra 100 gold.
Sorry, anyway, Romancing Saga, go on.
It's a piss romance. But you... Yes. But it's one of those games that... It's the battle system is absolutely fantastic. So you go into start a battle, and that's how you learn your ability. So you can pick any weapon, any character can equip any weapon, use any single magic, and you level up your abilities to use these weapons or magic through skill trainers that you find in various cities. Learning magic is kind of boring because you purchase all your magic, but in terms of actual combat, you can there's all these different kind of weapons that you can equip, from like a rapier to a long sword, short sword, two-handed sword, axes, quarter staffs. But the thing is, each
big swords, big shadows,
plungers.
There you go. You can
big old dildo, like dildo bats.
If you equip a dick shadow, you can fire a dick laser
later.
But all these different weapons have different abilities, and you learn them through battle, and you learn them through fighting, and you like they'll automatically learn it as you fight, and they'll develop depending on what weapons and abilities you use.
I really like that style, that battle system style. That's really cool. You could really build someone up on one particular
weapon.
Yes.
What? Not only weapon, but
you can diversify them too.
And that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
But here's the problem. The game punishes you for fighting. So the best part of the game is the combat system. But if all you do in the early to middle parts of the game is fight to build up your characters and have fun, the game, and because the enemies scale with you. And after so many fights, they like the enemies level up with you, and it unlocks your ability to level up more. And so
it reminds me of like Disgaea a little bit.
It's more like Final Fantasy VIII.
That too. It's been a while since I've played 8.
What are you talking about, Ginger? You never played Disgaea, have you?
I did play Disgaea, and that's why I kind of hate it, but I digress.
That's why you never let me play Disgaea. I get it now.
So you'll get quests from
people in town, but sometimes you could only get quests if you're something called an event rank. And the way your event rank works is based off how many battles you have fought. So you want to keep your event rank low, because if you keep your event rank low, you can get all your various quests. If you make your event rank too high, you cancel out those quests. And that's
okay.
It's fucking weird. It's so fucking weird. So that's it, but it's still fun. And you can still have a good time with it, and I beat it, and I enjoyed it. And like the ending makes up for all the bullshit that it puts you through. But overall, it's kind of like if you're more into the Final Fantasy experience, it's going to take some time to adjust to Saga, and you're going to have to appreciate a guide if you really want to get anywhere. So if you hate using facts, if you hate using walkthroughs, like stay the fuck away. No. Stay the fuck away from it. But if you don't mind using them, like, hey, like, what are the quests available and how do I activate them? You have no shame, because I have no fucking shame. Go for it. But no piss jugs, unfortunately. No bathrooms.
I was going to ask about the piss jug, but so in this game, it doesn't want you to fight. So if you go throughout the game without fighting, do you get, like, the best, like, ending? Is there, like, different endings to this game? Because
there are different endings, but it has nothing to do with how you fight. It depends on how much of an asshole you are.
Oh, so you if you're a huge fucking asshole, then you have a horrible ending?
It's more like you fight for the wrong god. So there's apparently, I haven't gotten all the endings.
Like, if you're a Trump supporter.
Unstoppable.
You fight. One ending, yeah. One ending, you put on a MAGA cap and you storm the White House. And
say, they took her there.
They took her there. But
they took her there. Okay.
But in one ending, you can fight for, like, the good god. And in one ending, I think you can fight for the bad god, obviously. But you still fight the bad god. I think, I don't know what happens. Because I ended up getting the ending where I fought for the good god. I don't know how. It's all determined on, I guess, what kind of magic spells you buy. And it's very strange. It has nothing to do with how many battles you fought or what your event rank is. But it is determined on what kind of dickish moves and what in the quest that you've made. Like, hey, did you kill this guy or did you let them off?
I've never played this, and I'm really, really intrigued, and I want to play this game.
It has the graphical style of...
What system is this for again?
PS2. Okay. And it has the graphical styling of, like, FF9.
We probably have it in that folder up there, Ginger.
We may.
We stole our ex-apartment. We didn't steal it on purpose, but these people that live below us... Mm-hmm. Lent us a folder, like a 180 disc CD folder full of PS1 and PS2 RPG games.
They just stopped talking to us before we moved
And then they
out.
Moved away.
And
they
we were trying to give them back, but they never answered us.
They took my copy of Twilight Princess for the Wii, and they left their 100 different RPGs for PS1 and PS2.
Well,
I was like, alright, that's fair trade.
See, I feel like that's a decent trade, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Right.
Because you can always get Twilight Princess for GameCube and have a better time. Or Wii U.
Also true.
Sweet. I'll have to check out that...
Folder.
Or just, like, look at, like, classics on the PS4 or something.
Yeah. I think you would like... If you like that, you'll like the Saga series as a whole, especially starting at the Romancing Saga series. The Game Boy ones are a little bit different, but you would still like them.
Nice.
All right, Ginger, you're going to do a quick diss instead of a full review?
I might do a full review too. I don't know. But yeah, I definitely want to do a quick diss. And what I want
Just finish it off with a quick diss.
A quick diss I want to... talk about is Dark Souls remake for the Switch.
Oh, okay, Switch.
I fucking hate this game.
I was about to fucking leave.
Hate this game. The reason I fucking hate this game is a couple reasons. The biggest one is when I pre-ordered this motherfucker through GameStop, I wanted the amiibo. I only wanted the amiibo. I didn't give a shit about the game. Fatality. And then what did they fucking do? Those motherfuckers sold the amiibo separately, so that sold out quickly, so I'm now stuck with a game that's gonna give me a goddamn stroke at the age of 35.
So what you're saying is I need to send you a photo of my Solaire amiibo. That's what I need to do.
I'm gonna fucking find out where you live and steal that shit. But I'm mad that they did that shit, because I would have made sure to get the amiibo, because it's such a silly amiibo, and...
Right.
And fuck you, GameStop, for doing that shit. Fucking assholes.
So you pre-ordered it because they said, hey, if you pre-order, yes, you can buy this amiibo.
Yes.
And then they fucking sold out before you picked up your pre-order? That's some fucking bullshit.
It's bullshit. So, I played through basically the tutorial, and I wanted to literally break my Switch in half when that fucking Mark said, good job. Like, fuck you on your good job. This took me 5 hours to get through the tutorial. This is worse than any other fucking Final Fantasy game, because you know what? If I go through a fucking 6 hour tutorial on a Final Fantasy game, I'm gonna know how to fucking play the game. It's not gonna try to fuck me over every fucking instant.
You have played Final Fantasy 13, right?
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Yes, I've played 13.
Hey, I have not Ginger.
Played... What?
Get good.
Right. I'm not going to, because I don't want a stroke. Like, I may just have to, like, make a separate fucking actual podcast on Ginger plays Dark Souls.
Please invite me. I want to be there for that.
In the soul.
I would actually have to do, like, a video recording, because you'd have to see my facial expressions for this game.
Well, there's a good reason to start a YouTube channel.
There you go.
Right. I mean, I already have one. So yeah. I could just add that shit onto it. But I was more disappointed in how GameStop fucked me over on my presale of that fucking amiibo. I understand this game it's great for a challenge. It is a hard fucking game. Lots of people like it. I see why people like it. That's why I ended up buying it. I really, really, really like watching Game Grumps play through, I think, Dark Souls 3. I think it was the third one that they played through. And that's how I actually want to... I don't want to play this game. I just want to watch people play it, because it's too frustrating for me.
One of these days I'll play it when I finally unlock the ninth waifu and waifu uncovered.
I would probably be happy and content watching you play it and not playing it myself, because I just cannot fucking put myself through that stress.
It sounds like Willie would be happy to watch you play through it too, and it would give him joy.
He probably would. He'd probably laugh at the new swear words I come up with.
This is why I keep telling Chris that, like, he hasn't played it yet. And I keep telling him, like, okay, dude, like, as soon as you want to sit down and start playing Dark Souls, you need to let me know, because I will come over to your fucking house with popcorn, because I want to see this.
Yeah, dude, it's like, I had to put it down pretty much since I've gotten right. it.
For quick diss, your 60 seconds have been up, like, several times already.
Okay, but I'm 100% on board with fuck GameStop, just for the record.
Fuck GameStop.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you, GameStop.
Alright, so the quick diss ain't towards the game, it's towards GameStop.
Yeah, more or less.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I respect the game for what it brought, and people like it because it gives them a challenge, because not everyone likes to walk around and digging up flowers and fossils in Animal Crossing.
Excellent. What do you mean? Yes, we do.
I do, you don't.
I do, but I'm going to put my original one, GameCube version, in the Wii, and I probably got a million fucking Wiis to go pick.
And cockroaches to crush?
In Purgatory, yeah.
Alright, yeah, that's my quick diss.
So now it's time for Recommendations.
So I'm going to recommend a book because I've been on this audiobook kick.
Oh, sure, all Mr. Literate person girl reading books with your ears.
Hey, it's helpful because it's like a podcast. Just fucking talk to me. Read the book to me. Thank you.
Talk a book in my ear holes.
I have started and I am almost halfway done with a book called White Fragility. Why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. If you're a white people, go fucking read or have this read to you. That's all I'm going to say. There's my recommendation.
All right.
I got a clap.
All right. Well, I'm going to recommend Harlem Queen. And it's an audio drama podcast that takes place in the 1920s in Harlem, New York, about a black crime boss, Queen, who runs a numbers game.
Nice.
And she's got a secret daughter who's passing at white, who nobody knows that that's her daughter. But it's like 1920s crime drama, like Dragnet.
Nice.
Crime shit, you know, people like double crossing people and everybody's trying to make more money and she's making money on an illegal lottery game in the 1920s. They have, like, fake 1920s, like, news announcers.
Nice.
It's a really good podcast. It's really short. There's only 2 seasons, and they're only, like, 4 or 5 episodes each. I've only got, like, an episode and a half left before I finish it.
You have to share it with me.
But, yeah, it's a really good podcast. It brings up lots of, like, early 20th century racial issues and how people are like struggling so hard to be treated like people.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said this was called Harlem Queen?
History repeating.
Harlem Queen. Yeah.
Cool. I'll have to, actually my fiance would be super into that. She was like, she loves Dragnet and that kind of shit. So
I might have to recommend it to my wife as well.
Yep. It's a really good one.
Awesome. All right, Chris, you want to go?
Sure. I'm going to recommend, just because they're such good friends of, I would say they're good friends of ours, like almost personally now, and just of our show, I'm just going to recommend the Region Free Gamers podcast. Mm. They are,
nice.
They're another, of course, gaming podcast, and they have a structure very similar to what we do. They cover a game now bi-weekly, and they're just a really good group of people. And if you just want to reach out, you want to talk to them, they'll respond on their Instagram or anything like that. And they have a really good quality show. They're good people. They're good guys. They'll take the time to talk to you. And I know they just opened up their Patreon. I don't want to advertise it, but I guess I kind of am. Well, shit.
I say but, you are, but go on.
But you just like have that kind of interaction you don't see from a lot of other Patreons, and even including our own. I'll even kind of crap on our own. But...
Wow. I feel attacked.
No, Shane, I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person. But, like, there's just a stand-up group of people that you can interact with. They have a good quality podcast. They talk about retro video games like we do. And they have a really interesting tournament. They had the Games of 98 not too long ago where they go through a bunch of games. They went through 16 games that released in 1998. And they discussed why they believe that the game that came out on top was the best game released in that year, which we all know is a... Or at least most of, if you're listening, as you probably know, I don't want to say we all know, but if you probably know 1998 was a really good game. It was a really good year for video games, and they discussed what was the most innovative and best game of that year. So I would highly recommend you go give them a listen. Really high quality show, stand up people, and I know they said that like 50 times. So I'll move on.
Hopefully they shout out NBA, what is it, NBA Live 98, best basketball game of all time.
Well, that'd be released in 97.
Oh, shit.
Also, just for the record, the reason that they're called Region Free Gamers is because each of the hosts is from a different part of the world, which is also a cool thing.
Yes, yes. Awesome. They have someone in the Netherlands, in Canada, Miami, like New York, but he's from Puerto Rico. So, yeah, they're all from different areas of the planet, and they all come together and they make this product, and it's really good.
Yeah, and we've had cool. Paul, the token Canadian from their show, on our yes. show a couple of times, and Paul is a super awesome guy for sure.
If you contact them, he promised to do Canadian bear hugger cosplay on OnlyFans.
Nice.
He wanted me. I specifically mentioned OnlyFans, so you're welcome, Paul.
We'll simp for Canadian
bears. I'd pay $1 to see that.
You'd pay $1 to see someone's asshole on OnlyFans.
Asshole? I thought he was going to cosplay as a bear.
Bears have assholes.
Allegedly.
Well, I don't want to see it.
Bear.
Unless he's from the great outdoors.
And very hairy. Somebody
shoots him in the ass with a lamp.
Awesome.
All right. So my recommendation, I think actually, is might be a little bit more well-known now. They've been around for a while, but it's one of the ones that stuck around the longest in my own personal RSS feed, and that is the film Reroll. If you guys are not familiar with this particular podcast, they have this really awesome sort of conceit for their show. That is, they have a group of folks, and it's sort of like it's a live role playing sort of podcast. So I think they're using GURPS for their system, but the whole idea is they take a movie, like a classic movie, and they role play the plot of the movie. But they only start with where the movie starts, and then they go in whatever direction they decide to go with however the game sort of naturally plays out. And it is hilarious and extremely entertaining with where a lot of these movies go. Like, one of the ones that comes to mind for me is their like live play through Home Alone, which went vastly different than how the movie actually went. And it's just a really awesome idea of like taking these things that we know, these plots of these movies, and then like seeing what happens if different decisions were made. So it's really cool. So I definitely recommend checking them out if you're into, tabletop RPGs or any of that sort of thing, or just, classic nice. Films or things like that. But they're a pretty good group of people.
Yeah, for sure. I just found them and followed them on Twitter, so I'll be sure to check that out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I know. I happened to see Macaulay Culkin tweet out the other day that he's 40.
Hey, do you want to feel old? I'm 40.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to retweet that and say, yay, I'm younger than Macaulay Culkin. So thank you again for joining us, Shane and Chris. Do you want to plug your plugs?
I'll let shout out your social media and plug your
wherever
podcast.
You want to be found.
I'll let Shane handle this because based off my rambling incoherence, I think he's a lot more sober than I am. So Shane, please take it away.
Yeah, sure. Why not? All right. So the quick plugs. So if you're not familiar, Chris and I, we are the hosts of the Retro Hangover podcast. Each one of our episodes, they come out bi-weekly on Sundays, and we cover either a classic game or a console or a famous industry figure or something to that effect. On every episode, we talk a little bit about our personal experiences with that thing, and then we talk about the brief history of it, which is more of like a scripted segment. So you get a little bit of learning in with your video games, which never hurt anybody. And
Well, shit, you guys do research?
Surprisingly, yes, we do. Yeah,
some of us do.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, sometimes. But yeah, so that's kind of our whole thing. And like we said, it comes out every 2 weeks. And so you can find us pretty much anywhere on social media. We're most active on, Instagram. But you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are basically on every podcast service known to man at this point. So if you search Retro Hangover, you will probably find us. I'll do a nice. Quick plug also for our Sunday streams. So every Sunday, either Chris or I jump on Twitch and we will stream some retro game or another, usually related to whatever our most recent episode was. And that's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to come hang out and see us play games mostly badly, then that's the place to go. I don't know. Chris, you got anything else you want to throw in?
Well, make sure you share a link of your Twitch so we can put it in the show notes.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and by the way, also, anybody listening to this, if you want a really easy way to just go get our show and put it in your feed, you can just head to bit.ly/gorhp, so G-O-R-H-P, and that will bring you to this really handy-dandy landing page where you can just select your favorite podcatcher of choice, and it'll throw the show in there for you.
Hell yeah.
I would say, yeah, you mostly covered it.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Episode.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Anytime.
And I'll continue to see you in Discord, because that's... I love hanging out with you guys in Discord. It's a great time.
Yep. In our Discord, you can shoot us a message on Twitter at @grand_video, and we'll invite people to our Discord, even if you're not a patron. Or we'll also be in the Secret Levels Discord.
Yeah.
Which is you'll where find we met us. You.
Yep, you'll find us all over Discord in a few different chats. Empire Arcadia as well.
Triple G Discord, we're in there.
But we would like to shout out our patrons at Boston Harbor Horror. They are great storytime podcast. And it
about
might
a guy
scare you.
In the Coast Guard who fucking fights ancient demon gods and shit.
Yeah,
basically.
Dude.
It's like,
check that shit out.
It's like X-Files for your ear holes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you for our outro song, Inadequacy, and our intro song, Rappy McRapperson.
Hell yeah.
You can find us on Instagram at Grand Rapidians, play video games. I run that shit. I'm hardly on it, so fucking get a hold of us on Twitter.
I mentioned Twitter already.
Yes.
You can email us at grandrapidiansplayvideogames@gmail.com. You can give us a call at 9167-WILLIE, 9167-WYLLIE.
It's a real phone number.
We'll play your voicemail on air
if you'd
want
like
us to.
Us to. And I think that's about it, right? We did all the things.
Leave us a review, and we'll send you free stickers.
Yes. Make sure you let us know. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for letting me burn y'all's mouth.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared of this next jar of salsa. It's going to be fucking hot as shit.
Yeah. Thanks for sending us... a lot of peppers. This is very, very nice.
I gotta burn someone's mouth.
I'm not gonna say anything about where to stick it in somebody's mouth next. That's the end of the episode. Dick lasers.
Goodbye.